This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Good evening. You are listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Femme Fatale is a discussion and dissection of the issues facing women in life, health, relationships, and the arts. On tonight's show, we are talking about marriage, the concept of marriage, issues of equality in our country, and what we think. I am joined by Kat. Hi, Kat.
Hi.
How are you this week?
I'm really good, actually.
Good.
Very happy.
Excited to talk about our topic?
I really am.
It's a meaty one.
I know. I've got many opinions on this. I'm looking forward to going but about
I can't wait to
air.
Get into it with you.
Same. What were we just listening to, by the way?
Thin Skin by Claire Bowditch. She's touring in Melbourne very soon, so you should check her out. She's an amazing vocalist and singer-songwriter. Absolutely. I've got a little bit of a crush. Not so secret.
During the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. If you've got a smartphone, you can download the free Joy app and you can message us straight from that or email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. We'll be back after this track.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. Femme Fatale is a discussion, dissection, and dissection of the issues facing women in life, health, relationships, and the arts. On tonight's show, we are talking about the concept of marriage, equality, and what we think. But first, we were listening to A Little Less Conversation by Elvis versus JXL.
I've never heard of JXL before, but I really enjoyed that.
I don't know what JXL means, but it sounds funky.
Or even if that's how you say it, but
it sounds funky.
It was good.
Yeah, funky.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, cool. Marriage, Kat.
Ooh.
I know, what a big topic. Did you just visibly cringe?
I didn't cringe, I shuddered.
Okay. It's totally different.
I think I have a lot of mixed feelings about it, is the reason. That
I think we all do.
Shudder.
I think what we're going to talk about first is equality and marriage equality in Australia and where that stands at the moment and what's going on with it politically, what the climate is. Mm. Kat's going to take us through some stats and facts.
Mm-hmm.
And later on the show, we're going to tell you what we think. But first, what do you think? Where do you stand on marriage equality? How do you feel about it? Because Kat and I are all about how you feel about it. During the show, you can text us at 0427JOY949. You can Facebook us or connect with us via social media through Femme Fatale on the Joy website. If you've got a smartphone, you can download the free Joy app or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. Kat?
Well, I mean, if we're going to start with where do we stand with marriage equality in Australia? Well, we don't have it still, as
yes.
I'm sure that everyone that's listening knows. Despite the fact that over 60% of Australians in the last poll believe that same-sex couples should be allowed to marry, and well over 70% of people believe that it's inevitable that it's going to happen.
I'm going to just say that's a huge swing in the poll.
In the last few years, yeah.
Well, when 2004, when the AME, the Australian Marriage Equality, which is a body which focuses on raising the issues of equality, they started up in 2004, started putting this issue out into the media, generating information about it and getting everyone's awareness about the issue. The polls have swung considerably. So in 2004, the poll sat at 38% of Australians.
Is that all?
Yeah, 38%. So the AME have done a huge, favour to the community, but they've also done a lot of work, and to swing the polls to over 60% is phenomenal. So really amazing.
And I find it really interesting that we don't have marriage equality yet, when there are other countries that, when marriage equality did come through, did not have the same level of public support that we do here.
And they didn't have the non-government organisations with budgets raised to, you know, champion the issue.
Yeah. And I think it's something like 74% of Labor supporters want or are in favour of marriage equality.
Yes.
But
which
Labor's
is pretty
not,
interesting considering people's political agendas.
Yeah, but they don't seem to be reflecting that
in
the party.
Their leadership.
Yeah.
No,
representational democracy, that's not at its best.
That is absolutely, that's a really good point, which our favourite person, Julia Gillard, needs to answer to that question. But really interestingly, 12 countries only 12 in the world currently permit same-sex legal marriage, and 7 states in the US. It's not a lot, but
no,
it's
it really
definitely
isn't.
Out there. Canada, Spain, South Africa, Portugal, Mexico, Argentina, Belgium, and the Netherlands, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Iceland. So, you know, there's some big players in the game there, but no.
And Catholic countries as well. So, you yeah. know, the religion argument doesn't really wash.
Well, this is the other thing I kind of wanted to raise. 69% of marriages in Australia are performed by civil celebrants.
Anyway.
And I hear you say, well, what does that matter? But that basically says, 70% of Australian marriages are non-religious.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, and I guess the point further to that point is that religion drives our constitution. We were colonized as a Christian country, and mm-hmm. our constitution is based on early ties, Christian ties with, you know, state and religion were the same. It's not still the same. The constitution has not changed a lot. And I think a lot of the reason that we're facing so much, you know, backlash in politics is because it's religious, you know, old religious concepts, which is holding it all back. And I think
they're not relevant anymore.
They're not relevant. Yeah, they're not relevant.
I think it's worth mentioning at this point the fact that, you know, we do have, well, in certain states, we do have access to civil unions. And there's the other argument that, well, why isn't that enough? Like, you can still register your partnership, you can still have legal entitlements, et cetera, et cetera.
Which is a huge point of debate. But everyone else can do it, so why can't we? And I guess that's the point that, and Kat and I are going to talk about later, I'm not really that into marriage, but I'd like the choice. I'd like to be treated equally.
And I mean, yes, I agree. Civil unions are great. And at the moment, the ACT, New South Wales, Tasmania and Victoria all have civil unions. But it's not there are lots of reasons why that is not as good as being able to marry. I mean, one of the reasons is that, you know, because it's a legally binding institution still, but it doesn't necessarily come with the same legal guarantees as marriage.
And
it depends how it's set up.
It's not globally recognised. And in some cases, it's not recognised from state to state. So basically, if you're a couple that are recognised as a civil union in one state and you want to move, your legal rights change, which is not It's not just.
Yeah, and you generally have to be a resident of that state in order to be able to have a civil union in it as well.
Which basically means that if you are a lesbian couple in a civil union and you like to travel and live all over the world, good luck with that.
Be careful.
Your legal rights, you know, you don't have the same legal rights as everybody else, which is why we're championing marriage, which is why it's so important. But on the politics, I want to really focus on why marriage, gay marriage, is so important, not just in an equality sense, why it's important for us to have equality in that legal sense. But what is the government saying about what is the government saying about us?
Well, they're saying,
by not permitting it,
by the
laws not being passed. It's totally perpetuating society's exclusion. It's not like it's not even just about equality. It's basically an old school form of segregation, sit at the back of the bus style. It's about exclusion.
It is absolutely about exclusion.
And that's where it's not okay. All of the issues that I see raised in the cases against gay marriage would all be fixed. You know, a lot of the issues like around, you know, the effect on children and blah, blah, blah. Society's mind frame around gay marriage will change. Children in schools, their concept of gay marriages, if it's legal, will change.
And also, it'll be one of those embarrassing things that, you know, what do you mean that same-sex couples couldn't get married? Why?
Yeah.
What was wrong with your generation?
Not so long ago, interracial relationships and interracial marriages were illegal. How ridiculous is that? Today, we would just go, oh my gosh, what the hell? When is the government going to catch up to the rest of us? I know there's, you know, huge legal implications, but not any more or less than any other changed law ever.
In so many other aspects, it would be unthinkable to discriminate against that bigger segment of society, to actually, I mean, to They're obviously recognising same-sex relationships to the extent that civil unions have been created. However, you know, we'll give you something, but we're going to have to call it something different. Mm. And it's going to have to have a slightly different legal structure. It's just another way of saying, well, that's because you have different kinds of relationships that aren't normal, that are deviant.
I would just want to push, though, that's all because of the awareness, and timing is really important. A lot of work has been done in the last, you know, decade about gay and lesbian awareness and community issues, LGBT issues. That's all about awareness, and there's much more awareness now. And why we look like a bit of a superpower in this country is because there's so much awareness out there that this minority is not such a minority that can be ignored, and it's finally safe for us to be out and proud. There's still... The stats only relate to those of us who are out and proud. So there is still a large portion of people who don't feel like it's safe to be out. Changing this law is definitely going to help that.
I agree. After the break, we'll be talking about the concept of marriage, what we think about it and how we feel about it. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You are listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. During the show, you can text us at 0427-JOY-949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. Download the free smartphone Joy app, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. We were just listening to Teardrops by Joss Stone. Very sexy, sultry tones she has.
Absolutely. Tonight we're talking about marriage. We're talking about the concept of it, equality as it stands here in Australia. In this particular section, we're going to talk about the marriage industry and expectations, I guess, that are placed on us.
Yeah,
when it comes
and
to marriage.
How the concept of marriage over time has changed, and where we stand now as a society, and what the social constructs around marriage mean to contemporary women in society. So we're just going to talk a little bit about, I would like to think of us as free-thinking women, Kat.
I think that I would like to think of us as that too.
Marriage, for me, brings up whole ideas of pressure. There's a lot of pressure.
It makes me feel stressed too.
Just talking about it.
We're both a little agitated. When you're watching it on TV, like, you know, it's always like the wedding special on the soaps or
the royal
wedding. Royal weddings.
I wanted to bring up the royal wedding because there's so much hype. The whole country stopped to watch the royal wedding. You know, it's this huge, expensive, extravagant fairy tale princess.
And it's supposed to be your perfect day. Like, it's always referred to as
the
big
perfect
day.
I know.
That has always made me feel a little anxious, even when I was little.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It is. Look, I think we all have those childhood fantasies about weddings and marriage, and it's good. And it comes back to our fairy tale princess show where every happy ending involved those wedding bells and, you know, the big white dress and all of that stuff. So I think it ties back to that, but I think as we grow into ourselves and kind of have some cognitive development kick in, we start to question things. Marriage is definitely one of the first things that I questioned.
What did you think about it when you were little?
I remember you
saying it was something you looked forward to.
It's glorified and it's beautiful, and it's, and we touched on this in the Fairy Tale Princess show, but it was because I was the media that I was exposed to in the culture that I was exposed to was that, you know, Anglo, you know, Western weddings were the most beautiful, biggest day of your life where you get to be like a princess and treated like a princess and all that kind of thing. But I quickly grew out of that. I actually work in the wedding industry, and I just want to draw your attention to we're not anti-wedding, by the way. We'll get back to that later. But the wedding industry in Australia turns over $2 billion Australian dollars. I'm going to say that again. $2 billion
every year.
Australian dollars annually.
That's so much money.
There is over 116,000 Australian weddings per annum. And you think about seasons. So spring, summer being the most popular seasons to be wed. That's basically 116,000 weddings going on basically over 6 months of the year. Is absolutely...
How do they squeeze them all in?
Mind-blowing. And the average wedding costs up to $20,000 a pop. Now, this is in, you know, a climate and social climate where most double-income, you know, earners can't afford to own their own home, and there's all this pressure about marriage. It's no wonder that the stats are showing that, you know, people are getting married later. Mm-hmm. Now, as you're well aware, we're talking about heterosexual marriage because gay marriage has not been legalized in this country yet, which it will soon.
And I'm sure we would spend a lot on it too if we could.
But we wanted to talk... yeah, probably. If we could. If yeah. we want to. We're going to get to that later. But I guess the point of this is talking about is the concept of marriage. Now, I was having a chat to Kat briefly earlier and talking about the way that our government and the Constitution, it was and has been in the past so closely tied with religion, and mm-hmm. all of our Constitution is based on religious ideals and concepts. Now, marriage is no exception. And, you know, it's worthwhile doing a little bit of research into the history of marriage because it ties into concepts of land ownership, ownership over people, women, inheritance.
Mainly to do with knowing who to pass property down to.
Yeah, but it also has to do with, you know, there's all the dowry and all that kind of thing about money. It's also a legal exchange of money and finance. And I guess that's where, for the gay and queer community, there's tension because, you know, being able to have bank accounts in the same name and have the same legal rights and being able to hand down and, you know, pass down money and financial, you know, inheritance is really important for queer couples raising children, needless to say.
Not to mention to each other.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there shouldn't, if someone dies, there shouldn't have to be a legal fuss about whether or not their partner can organise their funeral or make burial arrangements. Or
that's
whatever.
Exactly right. And if one, and you know, we all have heard stories in situations of
horror stories,
queer relationships where a partner dies and the family steps in and didn't know or hadn't heard that they were in a gay relationship, and the family has all the rights and the partner has none. So, you know, marriage is hugely important. But the concept of marriage itself, I think that I'm a little bit opposed to because being so tied to religious ideals of ownership and, you know, kind of the connotations around that, I'm not 100% comfortable with. But I'm a lot more aware of our right to choose and it should be an option for us at any point.
I agree. For me, it's not about marriage per se. It's about discrimination and lack of equality. I mean, I think that if the heterosexual population has the opportunity or the right, rather, to do something, then every single person in the population should have that right. And I would like to have the right to choose not to get married, if that's what I wanted to do.
Do you want to get married, Catherine Anne?
Well, it's funny because sometimes I vacillate on this, but at the end of the day, I can't.
So why even bother spending energy and time thinking about it?
But I did notice the other day, it must have been a couple of weekends ago, I was on a tram and it went past the Treasury buildings, and there was a couple out the front having all their wedding photos taken, and I got really teary.
Did you?
Yeah. And it wasn't teary in a, oh, how lovely, it's a wedding. It was teary in a, I felt so bad about myself kind of way. So I guess, yeah, my feelings are very mixed on it. And it does make me feel really upset. When I see people getting married, it's sometimes the only time, you know, that it's the little blip on my radar, which doesn't go off very often, that reminds me that there is a, you know, that my government thinks that I am of less worth than other people in this country.
That's a really amazing.
And it really upsets me when that blip does go off. Because most of the time I don't think about it.
Because, look, marriage is not huge on my radar. And I'm like many of us, I'm from a separated home where my parents are no longer together. And the concept of marriage seems ludicrous to me because I saw the dissolution of a marriage at a very young age. And it's a really traumatizing thing to behold. So the concept of marriage to me holds little value. I hold a lot more value personally in partnerships and life partnerships and commitment in other senses. But have we talked ourselves out of marriage because... and the concept of marriage, because we can't have it.
I think that's possible for some people. Though, again, like the stats don't bear that out. More than 50% of same-sex couples said that they would get married if they could.
Just over 50% of same-sex couples said that they would get married if they could. But that's still 50% that wouldn't get married if they could.
Yes.
That's still a lot of people.
But, I mean, not all heterosexual people get married either.
No, that's absolutely true. But I've got a lot of, heterosexual friends who are just getting engaged as we speak. There seems to be a huge influx in my life of people getting engaged, which is really amazing and exciting, that I'm glad they have that. But when you're, part of the queer community and you are entering into relationships, for my girlfriends, these goals are set in 2, 3, 5 year increments, and it's what they're aiming for, and they're moving their whole life and all their budget and their finances towards it. And I just don't have that option. So, it puts up barriers between us in terms of our friendships and relationships, because we can't have the same things.
Well, I try very hard not to feel resentful and jealous when friends get engaged or married, because, it's not their fault that they're heterosexual anymore than it's my fault that I'm not.
No, but I guess I'm backing up how I've talked myself out of
that being something I want to do
because the option may not be there for me depending on who I settle down with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, after this track, I would really like to talk about our own personal experiences with marriage and how we personally feel about it. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9. During the show, you can text us at 0427JOY949. You can Facebook us at Femme Fatale. You can download the free Joy app on your smartphone, or you can email us at femmefatale@joy.org.au. We just listened to Part-Time Believer by Boy and Bear.
I love them. I haven't heard them for so long.
I know. I love them too. And These Days by Powderfinger, which always makes me a little bit melancholy.
Same.
Tonight we are talking about the concept of marriage. We've touched briefly on the facts and stats in regards to equality in this country. And now we're going to tell you a little bit about our experience, what we think, and what our stance is on marriage. If you've got any feedback or you want to tell us your view, do not hesitate. Text in immediately, 0427JOY949.
Okay, well, personal experiences.
Let's cut straight to it, Catherine Ann.
Yes, we are running out of time. Well, I've been married, Gemma, twice, actually. And I have to say that I guess it's not something that I ever gave a lot of thought until I couldn't do it anymore. Now, that sounds really glib, I know. Also, the fact that I've been married twice, a lot of people take that as glib in itself.
So, talk us through it. So, you were in two heterosexual marriages,
yep,
and you are now gay-identified and in a gay relationship. Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
So, just talk us through it. Like, it's not clear if we understand it.
I didn't come out really to myself until I was, quite old.
How old were you in your first marriage?
Oh, really young. I got married just after I turned 23.
So what motivated you? What
social pressure
possessed you? So it was, everyone else was doing it. Were you from a small country town? Because generally at 23, that's when everyone's
doing it. I wasn't from a country town. I'm from Tassie. But okay. Yeah, I was from a small place.
Yeah.
And yeah, pressure. And it wasn't something that I really wanted to do, but it was really just like that's what was expected.
Okay.
So I did actually rail against it for a while, but I gave in. And the second time I got married was in a long-term relationship where we were just really the best of friends, and it seemed like a fun thing to do.
On the next step?
And it was really fun. We had a great time. But
wow, that's how you talk about marriage.
Well, no, that's how I talk about weddings. Weddings are really fun.
Okay.
Marriage, I thought that I wasn't that good at it, but then I was married to men both times, so I'm not really sure, to be honest, that I really understood what I was doing. But
okay. But
that's not my point. My point is that so I used to be really anti the idea of marriage, as in, this is something that I've failed at more than once.
Okay.
However, it seems really sucky to not be given the choice anymore. Mm. So the first two times I got married, it was so easy. Like, you just ring up or, jump online, you make an appointment, you go in, you sign a bit of paper and then you go and have your wedding and sign a bit more.
And no one asks any questions and
no one
cares who you are.
And what I find really ludicrous now is that now I can't get married but I'm still me. So why was it okay for me to get... Because it feels like such a personal attack.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
Like, it's me. There's something wrong with me, and that's why I can't get married. But it was okay before. I haven't ostensibly changed. If anything, you know, I'm older and wiser and much more of a... making much more of a contribution to society than I was then. So why am I now not good enough? I certainly pay a hell of a lot more taxes than, you know, the first two times that I got married. But now I'm not marriage-worthy material. That makes me feel really sad and really sick and really angry.
Yeah, it makes a lot of people really angry. I'm angry for you. I'm really interested, though, just touching back, because the fact that you've been married is really interesting to me and probably to our listeners. What was, you know, what possessed you to get married twice? And what did you think it was going to be about and for how long? And, you know, did you have those infinite forever thoughts, or did you think this is something I'll try for a while? Did you always feel like you could get out of it easily if you didn't like it? And well, how did you go into the second one after, you know?
I don't really believe in absolutes. So okay. I don't think I ever thought that I couldn't get out of it. But I certainly didn't go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to get out of this at some point. Perhaps the first time I did a little bit. But as I said, I was young and I wasn't particularly mature for my age either. The second time, we were the best of friends. And so, you know, I was cool with the fact that maybe we would spend the rest of our lives together. And like I said, I wasn't out. So, I mean, since then, obviously, my opinions about a lot of things to do with my personal life have changed.
Dramatically.
But also, I mean, that was a long time ago now too. Looking back, I think I was really, really flippant about the idea of marriage. And I didn't know how lucky I was to have something that I just so blithely thought was a basic human right.
Which is a basic human right that...
Yes, that we don't have.
Exactly.
So would I do it again? Yes, I think I would. But if I was
Do you want to? Is there desire?
I have the same political issues with the concept of marriage and the underpinnings that are to do with, you know, property and also religion. Would I do it as a commitment in a, you know, a non-religious way? Yeah, I think I would. I mean, I'm not sure. The only thing I'm sure of is that if I was going to do it again, this time I would want it to be something that I really believed in, heart and soul.
This is a really good point. I mean, I talked a lot about how our government and legislation ties directly, in the past, it's tied directly with religion. I think that's where a lot of the resistance is coming from. But we've definitely evolved, and religion is much more, marriage is much more a symbol now of a commitment to another human being. And is a lot more about the legal equality, and it used to be about legal inequality, and now it's about legal equality, but not for the queer community.
And it's what's ironic is that marriage now, because of the decline of religion, is about choice. It's about people choosing to get married even though they're not religious, which is what makes it so very painful that such a large segment of the population is excluded from making that choice.
Yeah, definitely.
Either way.
That's about all we've got time for, which is really sad because there's a lot more valid things.
I know. I really wanted to talk about your experiences as well.
Maybe one day we'll get back to that. If you'd like to hear us talk more about it, text in and let us know and we will do another show. We definitely had really good feedback from our orgasm show, and we will very possibly touch on and do that show again. So if you'd like more feedback on that as well, please text in. Thank you for joining Femme Fatale on Joy 94.9.
We're taking you out with Florence and the Machine and What the Water Gave Me.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.